May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1064. How vain are all things here below, how false and yet how fair. Each pleasure has its poison too, and every sweet a snare. Hymn 1064.
Read together from the Word of God, from the book of the Revelation and reading together from chapter 1. The book of the Revelation and reading together from chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord our God, merciful, kind and gracious unto us, once more we are favoured that we should be enabled to gather together in the assembly of thy people, and with that desire we pray to seek thee and to serve thee and to worship thy great and thy holy name at this time. And Lord, we deem it to be a favour if thou hast indeed drawn us and blessed us, that we should come before thee and through thy Spirit seek to worship thee. And Lord, we come with great needs as we approach unto thee. We're poor, we're needy, we're weak, we're helpless, and Lord, so oftentimes spiritually impoverished, and feel ourselves indeed, Lord Jesus, to be so undone through all the evil of our hearts, the solemn truth of besetting sins in word and thought and deed. And O Lord, we come looking only unto thee, who art the helper of thy people, to bless us with a restoration, and to bring us back to thyself, to remove all coldness from our hearts, to renew us again by thy Spirit and grace, to bring us truly to thy feet with longing and thirsting for thyself and for thy word of truth. Lord, we're helpless in and of ourselves, thou knowest. But Lord, we come depending alone upon thy grace, that thou wilt do these things for us, and lead us each, we pray thee, into the gracious truths of thy gospel, and bring us near unto thyself. And Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt do these things for us, that it might be at this time, that set time, to favour Zion. O Lord, we pray and beg for thy presence and thy Spirit to be upon us. Without this, Lord, our worship is in vain and shall be nothing, and we shall return from thy house empty. Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt appear for us, and whatever our needs might be at this time, that thou wilt come with the unction of thy Spirit, Lord. Take of thy word through thy Spirit, and show us those things that are in Jesus and his gospel, revealing thyself unto us as that one thing needful to our poor souls, to do us good, to bless us, Lord Jesus, with spiritual meat and drink for our souls, to nourish us inwardly and spiritually, Lord, and that we might, Lord, be enabled this morning to have a morsel of living bread for our souls. Even one word in season to us, Lord, thou knowest, it is able to lift us up, Lord. It is able to give us a little inward strength in our souls spiritually, it is able to bring us near unto thyself. Thou didst lift up the spirit of those two found upon the Emmaus road. They were downcast, burdened, troubled. But thy promise to thy people that thou wilt not leave them comfortless, that thou wilt come to them, that thou wilt not leave them as orphans. And Lord, thou didst come to them and fulfill that gracious promise. Thou didst remove, Lord, all the downcastings. Thou didst remove all the sorrowings. Thou didst open up the scriptures of truth concerning thyself, and that thou didst cause their poor hearts to warm, to begin to glow, and then to burn within them. And truly, Lord, we do believe that that burning within them is that time and season in opening up the scriptures of truth and bearing testimony of thyself and all things that should come to pass concerning thee. We do believe, Lord Jesus, that that real and true burning within their heart was, Lord, the truth, the blessing of a crucified Saviour at Calvary's tree. And, O Lord, isn't it that indeed that is able, Lord Jesus, not only to soften our hearts, but to warm our hearts towards thee, that thou wast in the room and place of sinners, that thou didst come to fulfill thy heavenly Father's will, that thou shouldest seek and save that which was lost, and through thy sufferings and death at Calvary, that there truly, Lord, thy church alone were blessed, and with that redemption through thy blood. And Lord, we do believe that those two upon the Emmaus road felt the blessing and the influence, the virtue of that precious blood of thine that brought their heart to burn within them. Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? The wonder of thy grace, Lord Jesus, unto sinners. But oh, may these blessings warm our poor souls to thee at this time. If there are any, Lord, that have come before thee now, with any strength of their own, with any so-called knowledge of their own, or with anything in the creature, consume it from them, Lord. Bring them low to thy feet. Humble them under thy mighty hand. Prepare their hearts to hear and to receive thy word. And Lord, that they may know the blessing, the pardon and the forgiveness of all their sins. Lord, undertake the cause and interest of each and every one of us at this time. Look down upon us in thy rich mercy. May we each worship thee in that singleness of heart and mind, and know, Lord, what it is through thy Spirit to have our hearts fixed upon thyself, to have an interest in thy precious blood, to have a deep concern in our souls, that thou didst come to seek and to save even us by thy grace. And Lord, we do pray and thank thee then that we're come to the house of thy prayer. Do draw near to us, Lord, each one. Keep us close unto thyself. O Lord, we commit to thee thy people here. We commit to thee, Lord, the deacons. We commit to thee, Lord, this gathering here at this time. Do undertake for each one. But, O Lord, we do pray as they continue to gather together, that thou wilt hear all the prayers and the petitions of thy people that are offered up in this thy house of prayer. Thou hast promised, Lord, to hear. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. The poor, the needy, those who look to thee for all needed help and grace, those, Lord, indeed, who venture there all upon thee, and seek, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be with each one in every part and aspect of their lives, not only in the ordinances of thy house, but, Lord, in those things that concern us here below, our labours, our families, our workplace, Lord, everything. Lord, that thou wilt be in every part and aspect of their lives, to conduct them in thy love and fear, to lead them forth through this barren land, that they may continue to know thy presence, and that the throne of grace, Lord, is open to the cry of poor needy sinners, and that they may be helped and enabled to venture there all upon thee, to tell thee all their heart, all their concerns, the things that trouble them, the things that try them in their path, the disappointments, the discouragements, Lord. Oh, do appear for them, Lord, and help them to continue, and that they might be enabled to cast all their care upon thee, for thou carest for them. Do undertake their cause and interest, then, we pray thee. And we do thank thee, Lord, for the witness of thy truth in this place, and that thou hast kept and preserved thy church and people here in faith and love. Help them still to embrace thee by faith, and to hold fast and steadfast to the doctrines of free grace, and that the scriptures of truth shall indeed be the whole conduct and the manner of their faith in Jesus, and help them to walk before thee, to be true seekers of thy face, and, Lord, to be enabled to put thee first and foremost in everything, giving thee the preeminence in their hearts and in their lives, and that, Lord, that truth may be the blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, do then, Lord, order all their footsteps here below. Go before them in the way. Lead them forth through this barren land, to keep them, to protect them and defend them. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so that the Lord is around about his people, henceforth and forever. And we do pray that each one may know the blessing of that experience in their souls, that thou art round about them, in thy love, in thy grace, the fear of the Lord in their hearts, and by their faith. O Lord Jesus, we do thank thee that thou art the keeper and the preserver of thy people. Thou hast brought us thus far, through many trials and difficulties, tribulations, afflictions, but thou hast brought us through, Lord. Thou hast kept us, thou hast given grace and more grace when needed. Thou hast truly been that one, Lord, to come to all our needs. And we do thank Thee, Lord. And then we have Thy word and Thy truth before us. And Lord, oh truly, how that we're helped to continue. For that Thy word hath declared that Thou wilt never leave nor forsake Thy people. And so, Lord, we have the gracious promise that Thou wilt be with us each. We thank Thee for bringing us to this day, another Lord's Day in our pilgrimage journey. Lord, we don't know how many more Lord's Days we shall see. Our days are in Thy hands. Thou knowest the number of them. But teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that, Lord, we may follow in the truth of our first hymn, to seek first those things that are above, and where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, to set our affection on things that are above, and not on the earth. O Lord, may we see all things here below but vanity, the pleasures of this life, and that, Lord, there is an end to all these things. O Lord, teach us to know these things. But Lord, if there be anything in our hearts and lives that would hinder, Lord, our walk and path before Thee, then come graciously, Lord, and remove it from us, and give us grace, Lord, to accept all Thy will and purpose concerning us. But, Lord, help us to go forth in Thy name. And, Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt be that one to rule and to reign in our hearts, in faith and in love. Pray then be with us, Lord, and help us to hold all things here below with a loose hand. For the things here below are temporary, they're passing, Lord. And they shall one day perish. But those things that are in Jesus are life, spiritual and eternal, and shall abide and remain forever. So help us still to cleave to Thee. Be with us, Lord, in the remainder of this service. We pray, Lord, that in the hymns of praise, the prayers, Thy people, and the word set forth, that Thy name shall be glorified. And we do pray, Lord, Thou wilt grant each one of us a visit of Thyself. Grant a token of Thine love and mercy to our souls. Show us again that we are bought with a price, the price of Thine own heart's blood. Show to us again, Lord, to whom we do belong. O Lord, we do pray that we may be brought continually to see that we are under grace, under favour, under mercy, and in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray Thy word shall have free course across this land at this time. Draw near to the needs of Thy people, Lord. We particularly think of our denomination. Do draw near to them. Help Thy servants to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be mouth, matter and wisdom unto them. Give them liberty in the preaching of the word. Feed the gospel poor with spiritual meat and drink in Jesus. Help Thy servant now, Lord, that he may be enabled to speak in Thy name the words of this life. Oh, teach him that by Thy Spirit, Lord, that word that Thou wilt have him to speak. O Lord, let it be a good word and a profitable word to us. Send none empty away at this time. Fill us each with Thy goodness. Prosper Thy word whereto Thou wilt send it, to the glory of Thy name. So we seek these mercies in the name and in the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. Hymn 395.
Of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, reading together from verse 9. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1, reading together from verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was truly one that was blessed, a faithful minister and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has laboured faithfully for many years in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and showed him of things which were to come. And this truth in respect of John. In verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ by his natural eyes, but also he beheld him by the eye of faith. He saw the miracles that Jesus came to do. He heard him in the preaching of the gospel, that he was truly that prophet that was promised that should come amongst his people. And he bare testimony of Jesus in respect of these things. But where did he bear that testimony, dear friends? It was in his poor soul, a testimony of Jesus Christ. That is what we all want, dear friends. A testimony of Jesus. May the Lord draw near to us at this time and bless us. And those things that John bore testimony to as he followed the Lord Jesus as a disciple, saw his wondrous works. He saw and beheld the whole fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy concerning him. I do believe that John rejoiced in his poor soul that this testimony of Jesus was a part of him. For that is what we want. Jesus to be revealed to us. To know the faith and the spirit and the grace of Jesus in our hearts. And the testimony of Jesus, what he came to do for sinners. And John beheld all these things. He gave a faithful testimony and a faithful report in his gospel and also in his epistle. A faithful testimony of Jesus. Let us just open up one or two truths in respect of John. Just like to mention before we proceed. He brought some solemn truths before those seven churches in Asia. Many things that were inconsistent, many things that were not right before the Lord. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It is a mercy, you know, when the Lord will send his servant amongst the people and maybe rebuke and chasten them. Sometimes the servants of the Lord do not know those things that may be inconsistent in a church. But the Lord knows them. Oh, the Lord saw them all, didn't he? Nothing is hidden from the Lord, dear friends. But it is a mercy when he will come, rebuke and chasten, and cause us to return to him, to confess our sins, to repent, and to return. Just coming to the words of our text, verse 7, I do believe that I should properly make mention of this verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And we've just spoken of those seven churches. There were inconsistencies, there were failings and shortcomings. There were also good things. But the time is coming when Jesus shall appear again the second time without sin unto salvation upon this earth. He will come again. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall behold him. And he will come the judge of the earth. It will be a solemn truth that he will become a judge to those who continue and go on in their sins and iniquities, who go on and continue in this world. And those today seeking the pleasures of this life, seeking to fulfill the lusts of their flesh with earthly things, earthly possessions, earthly pleasures. The Lord, the judge of the whole earth, will judge everyone. But what a mercy it is that to some he will come and show himself to be the Saviour and the Redeemer of his people. Yes, and all their wrongdoing and all their failing, all their sins, all their iniquities, and yes, that they have to confess day by day. Jesus came to put away, to remove from his people, that they should know the blessing of redeeming love and blood in their souls. And then he will come as their dear Redeemer, the Lamb of God that did take away the sin of the world, that they shall forever be with him. And this is the blessing and the mercy that belongs to the church. This is the hope and the expectation. And so, dear friends, this testimony that we have been speaking of, the testimony that John had in respect of Jesus and the work that he came to do, let us pray, friends, that every one of us here will have that testimony in our souls, that it will be well with us in that great day. Verse 9. I, John. John is going to open up some truths here in this verse 9. We want to be found inside of these truths, dear friends. I, John. open up one or two truths in respect of John. But oh, this truth. Can we put our names before this I? John could say, I, John. Can we put our names before this I? Let us see one or two truths. Because we want it to be so, dear friends. Not only just I, John, but whoever we are, I. That these things belong to us. That we have them in possession. I, John. What can be said of John? He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I, John. Can we put our name before this? I, John. Yes, he was a sinner. He was born into this world in his sins and in his iniquities. I, John. I think of that word in the Gospel of John and in chapter 1. John, he was going forth with another disciple, following John the Baptist. John the Baptist, it was his business to point to Jesus. And when these two disciples, and I truly believe that John was one of them, he never put his name to himself when he wrote this Gospel of John. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, I believe one of them was John, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. O John Baptist, to these two disciples, Behold the Lamb of God. What was their reaction, dear friends? They left from following John. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. What was it, dear friends? I believe it is this. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This Lamb of God that took away the sins of John. I, John. John was a redeemed soul. Isn't this the mercy that came to John? Not for what John was, what he did, what he deserved, what he merited. No. He was a sinner. But that was the blessing that came to John. Behold the Lamb of God. I believe that John knew a little of this Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Paschal Lamb. The Passover Lamb. And Jesus became a sacrifice for his sins and iniquities. And so I, John, whose sins are put away by the blood of the Lamb, am a redeemed soul. A redeemed soul, dear friends. Redeemed by and through the infinite and precious blood of Jesus, who washed away all his sins. I, John. May we know this testimony, each one of us. May we seek for it. May we beg the Lord for it. That we shall bear this testimony. That we can put our name before this I. And speak of those things that Jesus has done for us, a testimony Then again, I, John. He was a faithful minister, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, greatly used, and particularly the proclamation of the gospel, the day of Pentecost, and those days following, and where many were saved and redeemed. But he was raised up and anointed by heaven itself to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, John. And when we think of the words I, John, here, we think of it in two parts. Not only John himself being an apostle and a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but a minister of the Lord's dear people, a servant to them. The Lord Jesus hath raised up his ministers and his servants that they should preach the everlasting gospel before his dear people in each and every age and generation of time, because it is to the end of time that the Lord has a people upon the earth. It will be when the last elect vessel is gathered in, there will be no more need of the ministry, no more need of the gospel. But in Obadiah, and it isn't, I must confess, often that I preach from Obadiah, but the very last word in Obadiah bears a testimony to the work of John and to the work of all of the Lord's dear servants. And it says, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." And saviors. It isn't that there was salvation in them. No, not at all. Saviors. It means ministers and servants that the Lord would use, instruments in his hand. Saviors. And isn't it true that by and through the preaching of the gospel, isn't it the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, unto all them that believe? Truly it is. And this gospel is proclaimed and set forth by the ministers and the servants of the Lord. And so the Lord is using them. The Lord will use them to bring salvation to his people. He will use them also to bring them each into the blessings and the comforts, the joy and the peace of the gospel, which we so much need as we continue here below. But saviors, and then also watchmen, whom he hath set upon the walls of Zion, and their watchmen for the Lord's dear people, their watchmen whom the Lord has raised up for the Lord's dear people. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Oh, may that be the blessing and the mercy that we may know and understand today, that the Lord has given to us an interest to come into his house of prayer and to hear the word of truth proclaimed and set forth, and to have an interest that we should be a part of the blessings of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this good news of salvation. Remember that the ministers and the servants of the Lord, they are his gifts, dear friends, they are his gifts to his people. Thinking of those words, he hath ascended on high. He hath led captivity captive. He hath given gifts for men. And this is the blessing, wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, some pastors. some apostle, some prophet, some evangelist, teachers, gifts for the church. Gifts to you, dear friends, the servants of the Lord. Perhaps, dear friends, in respect of it being a gift to the church, that it may be seen in a very real and personal way. You see, that the Lord may use his dear servants to bless this gospel, the precious truths of Jesus, to your souls, to change the heart, renew the will, to turn the feet to Zion's hill. A testimony, friends. The Lord's ministers and the Lord's servants, and he will raise them up to the end of time. And so we have this blessing. I, John, who also am your brother, John doesn't raise himself up. The Lord has raised him up to be a minister, but he doesn't raise himself up, dear friends, above his brethren, above the people whom he hath come to preach the gospel to. What is the truth in respect of this? I, John, who also am your brother. John was brought and delivered in the same way as the church. They all come together by and through the cross of Jesus. They've all come together in the same way. I, John. John felt and knew his sins, as the church will do. We shall never be free from sin. The church will be burdened and tried in respect of sin all their days. And John well knew this truth. John needed that same precious blood of sprinkling as we need today. The blood of sprinkling of the Lord Jesus. To cleanse, to heal. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is no man that sinneth not. The Lord's dear people would not sin. They hate sin. They abhor sin. But the mercy is that John and the church together, they all flee to that same refuge in Jesus. I, John. No, he felt anew his sinnership. And so do all the ministers of the Lord. They're no different to you, dear friends. I would pray that I might be free from sin, because it is my whole desire that I should not offend against the dear Lord Jesus, who suffered so much for me at Calvary's tree. But I am thankful, dear friends, that the Lord has brought me to see and to feel my sins day by day, that I might flee to him, to the fountain of his precious blood, to know that healing, cleansing balm that flowed through wounds and bruises to cleanse and to heal. And then we have this truth in respect of who am also your brother. It is through Jesus Christ. We haven't come together, dear friends, in different ways, the ministers of the Lord, to those who are the Lord's dear people, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Oh, we have all come, dear friends, we have all been taken and brought to him by adoption. It is through his precious blood, the blood that he shed for sinners, his atoning work at Calvary. It was a work of imputation. All the sins of the Lord's dear people were all taken. They were all imputed upon Jesus Christ. And then the blessedness of Christ's work, his perfect obedience, his sacrifice and atonement, provided for his people a most suitable garment of righteousness, which they should stand in all their days, dear friends. And this is the blessing, that we were justified, reconciled to God the Father, adopted sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. Have we not felt and known this spirit of adoption that is found in us by and through the blood of Jesus? Who am also your brother. What a mercy it is then, friends, he enjoins himself to the Lord's dear people. And then, speaking of brother, we have brotherhood, haven't we? We all come together. We've come together here in a church state. The Lord, in his purposes and in his counsels, the counsels of his grace, has brought a few poor needy souls together. He has adopted them. He has brought them together in a church state, in a membership, one with each other. Brother, this is a wonderful truth, dear friends. And then, just thinking of that word in Psalm 133, we have a blessing and the truth that belongs to us here as the Lord's dear people. They come together, the Lord has brought them together by his love and mercy. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brother? Yes. Brothers and sisters together in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful union, dear friends. You know, never cease to thank the Lord for this, that there is a church state here, that there is a work of grace here at Swavesey, that there are here those who love one another through Jesus, those who seek each other's good, those who pray for one another, those who dwell in the unity of the Spirit together, those who praise the Lord together, worship together, those who bear each other's burdens. This is the church. I, John, who also am your brother. Let us take notice of this, dear friends. Because you know Jesus is in the midst of the church. Let that love of Christ be known and felt, one towards each other. And so this truth, I, John, who also am your brother, we pray then, just as we conclude on this part, that the Lord would enlarge the church, don't we? Isn't this a prayer of the church? It may be a prayer of the church. Lord, gather in. O Lord, save sinners. And then it might be the prayer of the seeker, Lord, Bring me into a church state. Bless my soul with salvation. Enjoin my soul to these people. They're the Lord's people. That was the truth, wasn't it? As it just comes into my mind in respect of Ruth. Isn't that what she said unto Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Isn't that the blessing of the church together, dear friends? You know, Ruth couldn't bear to be separated. We see Naomi as the church, you see, could not bear to be separated. Jesus was her all and everything. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. It is another testimony. It may be in a strange way, but it is another testimony, dear friends. Companion in tribulation. You know, the Lord's dear people have something in common, haven't they? Many things in common, but tribulation in common with each other. It will never be a plain path. It will never be a smooth path. It will never be a comfortable path for the Lord's dear people here below. Tribulation can be interpreted as afflictions. That is the essential meaning of the word. And many things, friends, will try the Lord's dear people. Many things will come into their path. They will experience many sorrows, many troubles, many disappointments, bereavements. John experienced them in the preaching of the gospel. His very place here on the Isle of Patmos was that truth. But also the Lord's dear people. If we are following the Lord Jesus, if we take up with Jesus, if we put him first, friends, we will suffer reproach and persecution for his name's sake. That is a truth. But friends, put him first and foremost in everything. It is better, friends, to suffer affliction with the people of God in this way. Take up with them. And glorify the name of the Lord. And companion in tribulation. Tribulations, afflictions and trials will come then into the path of the Lord's dear people. One sort and another. Differing times and differing seasons. But they're the best times, dear friends. And I don't want you to misunderstand me, dear friends. But what do tribulations, what do afflictions, what do troubles, what do they do for us, dear friends? Where do they bring us, dear friends? Do they bring us to Jesus? Do they bring us to the throne of grace? Oh, friends, to the trying of our faith. Isn't that the place to be brought to, dear friends? All things working together for good. And you see, while the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, the troubles and the trials that bear in and upon us. But we have Jesus to go to. We have a refuge, friends, for all our troubles. And Jesus has bidden us to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Lord Jesus is that one to turn to. And this, friend, will be to the glory of his name. Because we have got one, friends, to bring us through our course here below. One who will come and lift us up from time to time above our troubles and above our trials and afflictions. We may not be freed of them, but the Lord will bring comfort and peace to our souls in respect of them. Job was in great trouble and affliction. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He continued in his affliction, but the Lord raised him up above his affliction for a moment of time. And he was brought to joy and to rejoice, friends. The resurrection. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he knew that he would live and see him and behold him. Companion in tribulation. And then, dear friends, in respect of affliction and troubles and trials, never let us blame this person or that person or this circumstance or that trouble, friends, in respect of our trials and our tribulations, friends. They're all divinely appointed, dear friends. The Lord has divinely appointed them. Thereby his authority was so with Job. Just speaking of Ruth here, which just comes into my mind. And where Naomi claimed that it was of the Lord. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty, again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. It is a good place to be brought to, dear friends. The Lord will keep his people humbled. He will keep them low, dear friends. He will keep them in their proper place, dear friends. And that is before him. Our afflictions and troubles, thereby divine permission, as was with Job, as with Naomi, and then also coming into our mind in respect of David. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Oh, David had many troubles, dear friends, great and sore troubles. But they were a blessing to David. Oh, they were a blessing to him. He was a man of prayer, wasn't he? He was a man that came to the Lord with all his troubles and his trials. It was good for David. They would be good for us. And then, the truth of our troubles and trials and afflictions. There was a word that, and a promise in respect of our troubles and trials. It's what, it is that Moses, in rehearsing God's great goodness to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, prior to going into the land of their inheritance, he said this: when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Friends, the Lord will not forsake, nor leave his people in their trials and difficulties. He will not leave them, friends, to struggle through on their own. No, dear friends, he is ever at hand, he is ever near, and truly he is. And it is incumbent upon us to flee to him, to go to him. And then in respect of our troubles and trials, the Lord will bring us from time to time to the blessing and the truth of this, that we can look above them. Think of that word in Romans chapter 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, there was a joy set before the Lord Jesus, wasn't there? He was tried. He was afflicted. Mocked and scourged. And yet there was a joy that was set before him. Yes, not only that glory that he should have with his heavenly Father, but friends, that church which he came to save and to redeem. A joy that was set before. Friends, we have a joy that was set before us. And friends, it is a promise and it will never change. It will never alter, dear friends. No. And the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared, dear friends, to those things that the Lord has reserved for his people. No. You see, the Lord will come and comfort his people in their afflictions and in their trials. Just closing on this word, there was just another thought in the 2 Corinthians, verse 4. For our light affliction is but for a moment. Oh, friends, when we consider the shortness and the brevity of our lives here below, we're but a few days, friends. And yet, they are but for a moment, dear friends, our afflictions here below. And then this truth worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Friends, we can look above our troubles and afflictions betimes, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're those things that are in Jesus. May the Lord help us, friends, through our troubles and tribulations and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. You know, another testimony, dear friends, when the Lord came, redeemed us and delivered us from our sins and from our iniquities, he blessed us. You see, he not only changed our hearts and renewed us and delivered us, friends, from this present sinful world, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It is a wonderful mercy, friends, to be one of those that are blessed to be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hath set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This is where Jesus reigns in his kingdom, friends. It isn't an earthly kingdom, dear friends. It's a spiritual kingdom, translated into the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son. It's not a kingdom of this world, dear friends. And this is the blessing that is here in this word and in the kingdom. Jesus rules and reigns in this kingdom, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is ruling and reigning for each of his people here below. And the blessing of this truth is, I believe we have read it together here, in verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Oh, friends, how can he, what is it to be king and a priest, friends? Why, friends, we have power and dominion. with the Lord, haven't we, dear friends, over sin, over all darkness and evil, over Satan, the world and the flesh and the devil. That is the power that the Lord's dear people have, dear friends, the influence of his love and mercy and grace. But friends, their prayers and petitions in respect of being a priest, their worship and their devotion to him, their love for his name, that is the blessing that we have. Kings and priests with him. We reign with him, friends, because we hate sin. And you see, we can go to the Lord, to the throne of grace. We can tell him about our sins, but we can tell him to deliver us and keep us from this world and from all its sin and vanity and its power, friends, with God. In the kingdom, and this kingdom, friends, it will abide forever, friends. And it's growing today, friends. This kingdom is growing, friends. Kingdoms of the world, friends, will decay and come to nothing, friends. This kingdom is being raised today, dear friends. If one poor, needy sinner brought to confess their sins today and repent and are blessed with salvation, this kingdom is growing, dear friends. And it shall do until we come to that great number which no man can number, the 144,000, a complete, a perfect, and a whole number, be gathered into his kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. And what a mercy it is to be one of these humble ones here. Jesus takes knowledge of every one of them. He looks upon them. He loves them. He does, friends. And he speaks to them through the gospel. King Jesus. And then this patience, the grace of patience. We shall need this, dear friends, to bring us through our cause. Job, as James declares to us, the patience of Job, dear friends. It is a grace of the Spirit. And we need this patience, dear friends, to bring us through our course. And particularly in the times of tribulation and trouble, this patience in the kingdom of Jesus. A word in respect, just one word in respect of this. I believe it's in Romans chapter. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It's a patient waiting upon Jesus, friends. A patient waiting at the throne of grace. A looking to Jesus, friends. A depending and a trusting in his name. This patience, friends. We need this grace of patience today, friends. It will keep us humble and in our right place before the Lord. Oh, may we never rise up above ourselves, dear friends. We have an old man, friends, and the solemn truth of its activity at times when we lose sight of Jesus. May we have this patience. For the word of God in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was in the Isle of Patmos, friends, for the word and the truth of the gospel. And that is the gospel that he preached. And he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Now, friends, tribulation. He didn't complain and he didn't murmur, friends, that he was in that place. And we must not murmur and complain, friends, in respect of trials and tribulations that we're brought to pass through, friends, thereby permission of the Lord. And John would not complain being banished to Patmos. Friends, the blessing in respect of John is that he continued to preach the word. It was like Paul being in his own hired house for 2 years. It was a banishment sort of, wasn't it? But you see, the word still was preached. And so I do believe it was here, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We've spoken of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and we close on this point. What a mercy it is to bear a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. John bore many testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ in respect that he followed Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He saw the works of Jesus. But this truth, dear friends, do we know Jesus? Are we seeking Jesus today? Do we want to know him in his love and mercy? Have we come, friends, burdened and tried in respect of our sins and iniquities, exercised? Friends, this is a blessing and a mercy if the Lord has begun a good work, and that we've come here today that we might have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it the pardon and the forgiveness of our sins? Isn't that the greatest blessing, friends, that any poor needy sinner could ever be blessed with? It is, dear friends, the pardon of all our sins, our past crimes, friends, our past lives. Yes, when we continued in darkness and in ignorance in this world, far from God through our sins. Oh, there was a breach there, dear friends. We may think of it as being that breach through Adam, our first parents. Friends, he was banished from paradise, dear friends. And we have that Adam nature. But who is going to fill that breach, dear friends? That sin that separated us from God? Jesus. The room and place of the sinner to bring us back, to reconcile us again unto God, that we should be blessed. And I spoke of that righteousness that the church are clothed upon. And friends, God can never look upon his dear people and see an iota of sin in them. Oh, dear friends, we may feel many times and have to confess our sin, but God sees us and beholds us as he sees his dearly beloved Son, pure and holy. And that is our mercy. May we be blessed with that confirmation of the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in our poor souls. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £684, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Adrian Picking. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And would the church members kindly stay behind for a few moments after the close of this service? Hymn 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn 764.
Lord, we pray that thou wilt own and bless the service of thy house this morning. Pray that we may be enabled to glorify thy name. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Bring us to the evening sacrifice if it be thy gracious will, and also where we may be enabled to come and remember thee and thy sufferings and death for our sins and iniquities. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.